Now, if you happen to have your Bibles with you, would you please turn to the book of Haggai, chapter 2, and I want us to look at verses 6 and 7. Haggai, chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. As we announced on the church site, as far as the message title was concerned, I wanted to speak today on the subject, God's shakeup of the nations. God's shakeup of the nations. And I'm taking my text today in Haggai 2, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with the glory, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, this passage of scripture is prophetic in nature, obviously, and it ties in with the time upon this earth that God will severely deal with sin. The Olivet Discourse of Matthew chapter 24 includes the warning of the Savior concerning the shaking that will occur in the last days preceding the coming of Christ in glory at the end of what is called the tribulation period. The word tribulation is actually used in that Olivet Discourse passage. In Matthew chapter 24, let me read verses 29 and 30. The Bible says immediately after tribulation, there's your word, after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So here the Bible is talking about an unprecedented time coming upon this earth that will take place after the church has been taken out. It's a time that's called the time of Jacob's trouble, Daniel's 70th week. It'll be a time of tribulation. It'll be a time of sorrow and grief as God will shake this earth in judgment. You read the book of Revelation, you find the mention of seals and vials and trumpets. And connected with those, there's the idea we see the actuality or the fact of judgments occurring. Now let's look at the context of this Haggai passage. There was a mild shakeup in the Persian Empire at the time of Haggai's prophecy. And I say that because the Greeks were flexing the muscles, and the Persian Empire would fall to Greece. Alexander the Great would come on the scene, would expand his military outreaches in the world. And we know that the Persian Empire would fall to Greece. I think of taking that took place when the Babylonian Empire fell to the Persians. And then the shaking that will take place when the Persian Empire falls to Greece. And then the shaking that will take place when the Grecian Empire falls to the Roman Empire. And then eventually the Roman Empire itself will be toppled. There will be a violent shaking upon this earth in the last days. The Bible here mentions the desire of all nations shall come. And I believe that the desire of all nations is personified in the person of Christ. He's coming back to this earth to rule and to reign. Earth's golden jubilee will finally be realized when Christ himself will rule. There's coming a grand and glorious day upon this earth when the government will be in the hand of God. It'll be a theocracy. Be no more sin, no more violence, no more corruption. And what a glorious time that will be. You know, Bible prophecy is somewhat like a weather report. It's given not so much to make us afraid, but so that we will be prepared for possible storm. And there's a storm coming upon the earth which will involve devastating judgment during the time after the church has been taken out. Now, let me say to each of you this morning, I'm not among those who see a prophetic implication in every event of life, but I also avoid being unwise to rule out God's right and prerogative to use events to wake and shake people up. I have a preacher friend who ran from God's call for many years. God was calling him to full-time ministry. And the Lord finally got his attention while he was pinned under an automobile after it wrecked. And his first cousin was killed in that wreck. I believe that God can use things to get our attention. I look at this current pandemic, and I have to feel that it is a mistake to simply chalk this up as another out of the many similar pandemics. Is this really just another handy preaching opportunity to scare people? Or could it be that God is indeed attempting to wake up and shake up our country? Whether or whether not you believe that there's a prophetic implication to this global pandemic is your choice. I believe that is not outside the realm of possibility that God has allowed this shaking to get attention of a proud and a sinful world, and to let us all know that human empires can come crashing down in a hurry. We all are as vulnerable to utter earthly loss as an anthill beneath the foot of an elephant in the Congo. We scurry around conducting daily life without the awareness that any second our hopes and our dreams can be destroyed. I fully understand the fact that God reveals himself and his will through the Word of God. And that's his primary means of revelation during this age of grace. I also believe that things don't just happen. And God can get our attention during times of tragedy and trauma. I believe that disasters, wars, and tragedies have historically been used to bring people back to church, to prayer meetings, and to altars. For us who remember 9/11, we also remember the positive impact of that event, where churches experienced an increase of attendance and the nation became unified. Do you remember where you were on the morning of 9/11? I certainly do. Do you remember how you felt when you saw the Pentagon burning, the smoldering wreckage in Pennsylvania? Two towers exploding. Not since Pearl Harbor had so many Americans been killed in a single attack. More than 3,000 people died in one day, and many have died since from complications as a result of exposure to the debris. Let's fast forward to April 2020. The coronavirus death count in America as of April the 24th was somewhere around 50,217. There have been nearly 8,000 deaths in the state of North Carolina. And this death count exceeds those killed on 9/11. I'm talking about just from our own state level. More people have died from the coronavirus in the state of North Carolina than were killed in the attacks 9/11. We can view all of the tragedies which have happened and approach everything from a mere human perspective. But any serious student of Scripture has to factor in the multiple times in the Bible where God did indeed use events to get people's attention. Unfortunately, many people wake up to a wake-up call, and they have a tendency to go back to sleep after the danger's over. I remember years ago conducting chapel services in Iraq as an army chaplain. I noticed that it was far easier to get soldiers into chapel services just after our boots were on the ground in a theater of war. But after a period of time, some begin to think, well, maybe I'm okay. Maybe I'll not be killed after all. And so consequently, I noticed on the part of some, there was a sense of no longer a need of dependence on spiritual guidance. That's a problem that we have. We wake up but go back to sleep. That's a problem we have. We get stirred, but then the stirring ends. I think of 9/11 and the many anniversaries since 9/11. And I ask the question, are we morally and spiritually better off than we were in the aftermath of that tragic event? God shook us up. We listened a while and then went back to life as usual. I really wonder if America is really listening now. God is able to shake up America. God will eventually shake up the nations in judgment, and it'll be too late for multitudes of people. He would have America pay attention to the Word of God and heed the gospel before it's too late. I think of a warning that's given in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, verses 25 and 26, where the Hebrews writer says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, and now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." That's Hebrews 12, verses 25 and 26. I'm one who believes that Jesus is coming soon. I believe that these are the last days for the church. The church is not told to look for signs preceding the rapture, but signs are given to Israel. And the signs recorded in the Olivet Discourse reference activity on this earth leading up to Christ's return at the end of the tribulation. We still should not discount the increase of various phenomena that's been occurring in our recent years. I don't think we should discount all of this. Do you know that the costliest hurricanes in American history have happened since 9/11? Did you know that Hurricane Katrina, which nearly wiped out an American city, ended up costing $108 billion? I think of the outbreak of tornadoes and the increase of fires and droughts. I look at the impact of this pandemic in the death count and its impact on the economy of this world. Washington is running up the national debt. Washington is running up the national credit card to jumpstart our economy at an astronomical rate beyond our capacity to even understand. Our federal debt is now in a mini-trillions category, and increasing more as the days go by. Stimulus checks are being deposited in American bank accounts, and that may be good, but I'll tell you something. We're heading towards economic disaster if something is not done with how we pay that debt. The answer to really for the economic woes is not the printing of more money, for we risk deflation, which could devalue the dollar to no more value than the paper it's printed on. No wonder that many economists are predicting another great depression. I've said all of that to say this. I believe that these times in which we're living, I believe that this coronavirus, I believe that this pandemic, I believe that the deaths, I believe that the economic woes, I believe it all combined, I have to feel, as a preacher, that God's trying to get the attention of this nation. Now, sometimes it feels like we're out in the middle of a frozen lake, and suddenly we begin to hear the ice cracking under our feet. we have plunged down, we haven't yet plunged down into the icy water, but we're not sure where to step, whether we can get back to the safety of the shore. We feel a little bit like that, don't we? Consider something else. Let's go beyond just the economical situation. Let's go beyond just the pandemic situation. Let's factor in some other things. Consider the moral state of our country. Since 1973, there have been more than 53 million abortions. More than 53 million children are murdered, and there's no end in sight. Pornography news today exceed the revenues of ABC, CBS, and NBC combined. Today, the pornography industry is larger than the revenues of Microsoft, Google, Amazon, eBay, Yahoo, Apple, Netflix, and Earthlink combined. What about that? This nation of ours is in a putrid mess. Our country is ungodly to the core. It has become so easy for people to thumb their noses in the face of God. Christians are being persecuted more and more as time goes on. Ridicule like we've never seen. And we have politicians that are leading the pack. If they get elected in, you can bid goodbye to the freedoms that we have in our churches if the wrong politicians wind up in government. And then on top of that, where are Christians today? What differences are we making? The answer is painful to hear. Too many people who say they are Christians are asleep or distracted or intoxicated by the world. George Barna, the Christian pollster, a few years ago, he's not only a researcher, he released a fascinating book, but sobering book, entitled Future Cast. It reveals that 85% of Americans identify themselves as Christians. The typical American household owns 4 Bibles, yet only 56% believe that the Bible is accurate without error in the inspired and inerrant Word of God. It seems that there is a major disconnect between who we say we are and what we say we believe. And how we're living. Here's my question. How can we be salt and light, as the Bible says we should be? How can we be salt and light in the lost world around us if we are no different than the rest of the lost world? I saw on the news this morning, or a couple days ago rather, that a preacher has written a book predicting a great awakening to come out of this pandemic. I hope he's right. And if he is, we need to do a lot of repenting. And I mean now. We need to do a lot of praying now. We need to have a greater commitment now than ever. Can we possibly hope for a spiritual revival or a great awakening in this land if we're barely even sharing the gospel, our faith in Jesus Christ, with even one person a year? Everyone who has been following my broadcasts, and now we've been on now for, it seemed like a lifetime, but we've been on several weeks. Everyone who's listened to me and followed my messages, you know that I have sought to encourage, to assure, and to remind us of God's loving care and provision. I've done that, and you know that. But here's a sobering truth we've got to factor in the equation. God's care is also to be matched with commands and even warnings. We need to learn lessons alongside. We need to be lessons on sobriety, lessons on commitment, lessons on revival, lessons on repentance, alongside lessons on love, lessons on care, and lessons on provision. I'm saying today we need a full balance. I believe that God takes care of his people, but I'll tell you something else I believe. I believe that God warns the wicked of the error of their way. I believe the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I believe that there is a way which seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of God. I preach heaven sweet, but this is one preacher that believes that hell is hot. I believe there's eternity. Christians, those that have placed their trust in the blood of Christ, go to heaven. But if anybody dies without faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you'll never hear this preacher say they'll get factored in on good behavior, whatever. No. There is a burning hell, but there is a wonderful heaven. If God would allow his precious son to come to this earth, to be beaten, to be bruised, to be despised, to be crucified on that cross, and for him to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Don't think for a moment there's hope for any sinner of ever going to heaven unless they come by way of his work upon that cross. What about, I would ask this morning, what about the possibility of a warning behind this pandemic? What about the possibility of God showing this nation and world that our resources are inadequate? What about the possibility that God is attempting to shake up the church to a greater commitment and fervor? But we must also understand that God shakes up his people for positive reasons. Do you know that God shakes his people up because he loves them? He wants us to repent of whatever we're holding on to that we think will give us hope and peace and security other than Jesus Christ, his only begotten son. He shakes us up because he wants us to realize there's no one else who can satisfy us or give us true peace and security except Jesus Christ. There's no other water that will quench our spiritual, emotional thirst except the living water. He wants us to discover him and to draw near to him and drink the water that only he gives. He shakes us up because he has a mission for his church. He has a mission for each follower of his. He doesn't want us to miss the blessing of serving him, of bearing fruit, of our lives being fruitful, because we've allowed him to bless us and to use us and to give us what we need. There was a prophet by the name of Jonah that we all know about. His world was once shaken. He was on a boat, heading to Tarshish. He was on the back of the boat sleeping. God caused a great storm to come up on that sea. And the storm was so bad that there was a great possibility that the ship would be sunk and everyone on board. Jonah was asleep. The captain approached him and asked him, why was he sleeping? He told him to get up. Now the captain of the ships told him, get up and call on your God. You see, Jonah was a man of God who was on a run from God and asleep to his voice at that time. I believe the Lord is shaking us because Jesus Christ is coming soon. He's shaking us. I believe the Lord is coming soon. And you know, the time to get right with the Lord is running out. How do we know that Jesus is coming back? Well, the Bible confirms the truth, and I'm one of those that believe the Bible says it. I believe we can accept the Bible, don't you? Now, when is he coming back? We don't know exactly. But I know this, the Bible says he's coming back. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I believe he's coming soon. Preachers have preached this for years. But guess what? Preachers are going to be preaching this, and it's going to happen. We cannot set dates. We can't set dates. But I believe he's coming soon. Look around you. Do you know that we have, go back to the Olivet Discourse, we have a list of signs preceding his return after the tribulation. Those signs include, think about this, wars and rumors of wars, uprising and revolutions, earthquakes, natural disasters, lawlessness, false prophets, false teachers, false messiahs, the rise of evil in our culture, previously unimaginable, persecution of believers, betrayal, and general apostasy. The world was going to witness, or our world has witnessed. Here's an amazing fact. Our world has witnessed something that's taken place in Israel that we cannot discount. We who believe that God's hand is upon his covenant people, the nation Israel, and his hand is. We have witnessed something, several things, in reference to Israel that I think says a lot. We've seen the miraculous prophetic rebirth of the state of Israel. Jews coming back to the Holy Land after centuries of exile. Jews rebuilding the ancient ruins. Israel becoming the epicenter of international tension and growing international hostility in isolation. We have seen this happen in our lifetime. And I think that's noteworthy. Are you that are listening to me this morning ready to see Jesus face to face? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Are you absolutely sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? But to start, you need to wake up. Where are you today? Are you awake or asleep? Are you running with Jesus or are you running from him? And from the mission he has for your life, like Jonah did. We don't want to be ashamed when he comes. Christian, we don't want to be ashamed when he comes. You know, John says something about that. He says, and now little children, abide in him. The word abide is a key word. Maintaining fellowship with him. It says, and now little children, abide in him. And when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That's 1 John 2:28. We've been on a lockdown now several weeks. We've had closed churches. We are seeing deaths in the thousands. People have lost their jobs and many have lost their savings. America needs to wake up, get up, and stay up. The nations of the world, including our own country, have been shaken. And I think you will have to agree with that. We've been shaken. This world has been shaken. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving his people time to rekindle our first love with him, to embrace him, to serve him, no matter what. The journey that we're on, we discover God is still trying to wake us up. We need to realize today, we need to discover that his mercies are in every morning. We need to discover that when the world is being shaken, we don't have to be, because our hope and our trust is in him. And let me give you a great Old Testament verse. You know, the psalmist says in Psalm 16:8, and this applies to God's people. I've set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Do you know that word moved can also be translated shaken? I shall not be shaken. You see, Christians have that assurance. God says, here we have it. When this world is in a turmoil, when it's uncertain what our future holds, yet we that have placed our trust in, we have a secure future. The world might be shaken up, but we're not shaken up ourselves and says we're not shaken from. We're not shaken from his love. We're not shaken from his care. We're not shaken from his security. We're not shaken from the future he's provided for us. The securities we have in Christ. I believe that America needs to be shaken up and America needs to wake up. So in closing, how are we going to respond? Are you that are listening to me this morning ready to meet God? Will you and I turn this lockdown into a look up? You know, we need to do that, don't we? We need to turn this lockdown into a look up. This worldwide pandemic should drive the sinners down on their knees in repentance and the people of God on fire with revival. So we can come back to how I started the message. God's shakeup of the nations. God's going to shake up these nations like they've never been shaken when the tribulation period occurs on this earth. But I believe even now, I believe there's a shaking going on. And it's up to us to be wise enough to see it and to do something about it. If you're listening to me right now, you're not saved. You're not a Christian. I can't imagine living in this day and time without knowing Jesus Christ. I can't imagine not knowing God. I can't imagine not having that security. And then also too, we know the Lord. Let's love him like we've never loved him. Let's serve him fervently. Let's be committed. But if you're here today listening and you're not saved, would you be willing right now to bow your head and say, oh God, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm heading for devil's hell. But I believe Jesus died for me. Have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake. And God will save you today. And you can handle what's going on in the right kind of way. And then Christian today, look to him. We might be locked down, but I'd say to all of us, let's look up. Shall we pray? Father, bless this message, we pray. May the Spirit of God see fit to use it. And I pray that we might realize today that God can shake the nations and the world. Bless now, we pray in his name. Amen. Until this coming Wednesday, we will be having, of course, our service again this coming Wednesday at 6 o'clock. But until then, let me thank each of you for joining me. I see your comments. I see your names popping up, and I appreciate so very much with us today. And so until next Wednesday, may God bless you, and you folks have a great day. And I'm going to go ahead and shout out now, and I hope it all works right.